All right, so we are jumping back in this week. Missed you guys last week. I'm glad to be back with you. We're jumping back into the Framley Plan, the series that we've been talking about, how God gave us his word as this like instruction manual for our lives. And the Bible basically is about two big ideas. Number one, our relationship with him. How do we interact with God? What does that look like? And also, how we interact with each other. And so this instruction manual is basically about relationships. God's telling us how we can have good, healthy relationships that honor him, that are good for us and bring him glory. And all we got to do is open up the Bible. It's this love letter that he gave to us so that in those moments where you're like, how in the world am I going to make it through all the brokenness of this relationship in front of me? God's like, I have the answers for you. I wrote them all down. They're in my word. All you have to do is take the time to trust me, open that thing up and read and find what I tell you about how to have these awesome relationships, how to fix broken relationships, and how to pursue relationships that actually glorify him in the end. And so as we're walking through this, we've seen some different relationships already. The Bible speaks into all sorts of different things, friendships, dating relationships, family relationships. And at the heart of all of this, what I want us to see tonight, I think the Bible is really clear and plain about this, that as we approach relationships, there's something really, really important that we carry into that. And it's this word, wisdom. As if you want to have good, healthy, God-honoring relationships, it needs to start with wisdom. And sometimes when we say the word wisdom, I know, I get it. It's like this old person word, like old people are wise. Like wisdom isn't something we think like people in their teens have. But listen, God offers you wisdom. You're in seventh grade tonight. You're not too young for God to offer you wisdom. You could be a wise person because it doesn't depend on you. It's not how smart you are. It's not how much life experience you carry with you. It's about Jesus Christ living inside of you. And as you trust Jesus and his truth and his word, he gives you wisdom through his Holy Spirit. Even some of the youngest people in the Bible, as we turn through the pages of the Bible and hear all these accounts of these amazing things that happen in people's lives, we will come across story after story of these young people, even teenagers or younger, that acted in such wise ways because God had a hold of their hearts. And they said, God, I trust you. And the Lord did the rest. And so even you tonight, even me tonight, all of us have this ability to access wisdom that only God gives. The problem is most of us look at that and we stop right there and we're like, that sounds boring. Why do I want wisdom in my life? Wisdom sounds like it's no fun. And so if you're anything like me, when we first say that word, you're like, all right, I'm already tuning off. I'm thinking about something else. But would you hang with me tonight? Would you listen to what the Bible has to say about wisdom and how it can change your life? There's a good reason why each of us needs wisdom as we approach relationships with God and with each other. And we want to answer that question, why, tonight. And I think we will if you would just hang with me and don't tune out the second we say the word wisdom. All right? So I want to start off with this. Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. So like literally God's telling us in Proverbs, you're blessed. How many of you don't want to be blessed tonight? Like God comes along and he comes into this room tonight. He's like, hey, I want to bless you. The God of all creation who made everything that exists with all power comes in this room. And tonight he's like, I want to bless you. And you're like, no, thanks. Nah, I don't want that. That sounds boring. For the God, the infinite God of all creation, who holds all the power in his hands, don't bless me. That sounds boring, right? Like that's incredible that we would even think that. But sometimes we do. Like, God, just do your thing. And what he's promising and telling us in Proverbs 3:13 is that we will be blessed by the infinite God when we find wisdom. It says, in the one who gets understanding, God wants to be about the business of taking your life and filling it with wisdom, not just life experience, not just knowledge, not just sitting in a Bible class, but he wants to take his Holy Spirit and illuminate your mind in a way that you're able to look around you and see things others can't see. See life in a way others can't even perceive it. Approach relationships with him and other people in a way that is supernatural and above anything you and I can just do on our own. that's not boring at all. That's unbelievable and exciting, and it only comes through an infinite God who wants to give it to you. Don't you want to be blessed tonight? And it says, blessed is the one who finds this wisdom. It only comes from God. Psalm 32:8 says this. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So who's the one who gives this wisdom? God's like, it's me. I want to train you and teach you and instruct you. I will have my eye on you to protect you and watch you and walk you through into this like way of wisdom. I want to take you by the hand and walk you through life, through every moment and situation, through every argument you have with a friend, through every like relationship that you're walking through. God wants to take you by the hand and walk you through it. You're not going alone. That means even the scary moments, even the moments that you're like, how will I ever face that person and have this conversation? I don't know what that would even look like. And God says, give me your hand. Infinite God. We just sang about him, right? He's always fighting for us. He takes your hand and says, let me fight for you. Let me walk you through this. Let me show you how. Let me keep my eye on you and give you the words to say and understand the feelings that you're feeling right now and show you how to interact with these people in a way that brings glory to his name. God wants to be about it. You see, there's all sorts of people today that want to offer you knowledge, wisdom, and motivation, and self-help, and all these different things. There's books you can read. There's YouTube videos. There's Instagram. Like, there's all sorts of stuff. People just promising to help you be wise. God's like, I'm the only one that can do that. They can promise whatever they want. I'm the only one with wisdom. And here's the beautiful part. He wants to do it. He's already offering it to you. So many of us are walking around blind and we think we know how to live life. We know how to navigate our relationships. I've got this under control, right? Like, I've got it. God's like, no, you don't. You can try all you want. But until he takes you by the hand and you say, God, lead me, you're not going to find the wisdom you're looking for. You're going to do the best you can, blindly walking through, trying to feel through life, stumbling over relationships, messing things up one by one, over and over again, repeating the same mistakes. Nobody wants that. Do you want that? God's like, I can help you avoid that. I can literally take you by the hand and walk you through it. I'll keep my eye on you. I'll show you the right way. I'll instruct you. I'll give you the wisdom that you need, but it requires a heart that says, God, lead me. Take my hand. I submit to you. I will obey. Let me do this thing the way you would have me do it and not the way I would choose. And so that's a big promise. I hope you hear him say that tonight. I hope you hear his voice literally telling you, I want to lead you. How are you navigating your relationships? Would you just stop for 1 second? Just pause, right? Clear your mind and just ask yourself the question. How am I navigating my relationships tonight? Are you trusting God to help you know how to interact with those friends, family members, boyfriend or girlfriend, or whatever it is in your life? Your enemies? The bullies? People who don't like you and gossip behind your back, do you know how to engage in those relationships in a way that can bring health and restoration instead of just lingering in like more fights and more arguments and more gossip and more brokenness? Because that's the default. That's where we end up. There's no way out of that unless you say, God, you got to lead me out of the pit. You need to take me by the hand and walk me through this. You see, God is the giver of wisdom and he promises to teach it to us. He says, I want to do that. But to learn it, we have to act on it. We got to do something about it. We have to take him at his word, right? We see it in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. That's our passage for tonight. I want to read it to you. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You guys probably know this story. It's pretty well known. Two different houses, two different constructions, two different types of responses from people that said, I'm going to either hear God's word, right? What we're talking about, the Bible, this instruction manual on relationships. I'll hear it, but I will just say no, and I don't care. Leave me alone. You become this house that's built on sand. And if you know anything about heavy objects on sand, they don't do well. They sink in. They settle uneven. Foundations crack and break. And so what you have to do is you have to build it on a solid foundation. And he says, listen, the people who hear me and hear my word and read my Bible and go, God, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to follow your word. You're more like this house over here that's built on this solid rock. It doesn't give under the pressure of the weight of that house. It doesn't settle unevenly. The foundation doesn't crack, but it has this awesome, solid foundation to sit on. And that's God's word, because you know why? God's word doesn't change, and he'll never lie to you, and he wants the best for you. But this foundation, this is your word. And guess what? Your word is sand. You could promise yourself the world. Your word's going to change. Your heart's going to change. Your mind's going to change. The people around you that you're trusting for that, their words are going to change. Their opinions will blow with the wind. Your foundation will break if it's built on that. God's word's unchanging. God's word's powerful. God's word brought everything in the universe into existence, and he's offering you that same word and wisdom and truth. Which one would you rather build your life on? Which one are you building your house on? He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. That's how he starts this thing off. You hear God's word and you do them. It wasn't just everyone who hears these words, he's like this house built on a rock. Everyone who hears my words and does them. There's this action involved, right? You're responding to the truth that God's given you. He's like, this is what you need to do. Read my word and then believe it and do it. Like, obey the things that I'm saying. There are too many Christians who are like, I know the Bible, and they don't follow it. Talk about it. They read it. They put it on coffee mugs and t-shirts and the whole deal. They might even sing all this, like, cool songs, these songs about the truth of God. But then their lives, they're not living it. It says who hears it and who does it. Are you obeying Jesus tonight, or are you just living like, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm good, I'm going to live however I want? Because he doesn't say just hear him. You could come here every Wednesday night or go to church every Sunday morning and you can hear his words. You can hang out with a Christian group of friends and hear his words. You can have a Christian mom and dad and you go home every night and at dinner they're telling you about Jesus and you can hear the words and still not do them and live on them and put your life on the words of God. It requires this action of obedience that says, Lord, when you tell me how to have my relationships, how to date correctly, how to handle friendships or even enemies and broken relationships, when you tell me how you want me to interact with you best, how to respect you and honor you and live for you and love you, when you tell me those things and I actually hear them, but then I go do them and I obey you, it's like building my life on this solid rock. God's going to do unbelievable things through you. But when you just hear, you've missed the message. Because he doesn't just say hear, he says hear and do. Right? There's this obedience. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that kingdom. Say, God, tell me how you want to live my life. How many of you have ever taken the time? Don't raise your hand for this. Just in your heart, think this. How many of you have ever actually taken the time to say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want for my life? What do you want for my future? What kind of dreams do you want to give me and visions for my future? What kind of things, goals do you want to set in my heart? God, what do you want my heart to beat fast for? Some of you guys may have never stopped to actually ask God that. You know, a lot of us have dreams, right? You probably have things you want to accomplish. You see yourself 10, 15, 20 years from now in a certain light, in a certain way, and you're like, that's going to be me. I'm going to be that pro NBA player. I'm going to be that surfer. I'm going to be that lawyer. I'm going to be that mom or dad. I'm going to be whatever it is your vision is, right? We probably have them. But if you stop first to say, God, what do you want my life to be? Who do you want me to become? Like, what do you want my relationships to look like? Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And all these things will be added to you. And so he doesn't just say hear, he says those who hear it and do them. Otherwise, it's just noise. It's a bunch of noise. You can hear me preach all night long and talk about the Bible and read you verses, and it's just static. Until you take it and you bring it into your heart and you say, God, I'm going to obey those things. I'm not just going to hear the noise. I'm going to believe it's true and I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to live these things out because I believe it truly is the best thing for my life and for my family and my friends and my relationships. God, I trust you and I will obey you. So he says, people like that will be like a wise man. That's how you get that wisdom. Remember we talked about those who find wisdom are blessed. That's how you get it. You believe God's word and you do it. The wisdom is there. It's on the pages, but it's not real wisdom until you take it in your heart and you obey it and do it. And then it becomes wisdom. Other than that, it's just noise. It's just words until you're living it out in your life. It says, it will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You know, all of you guys, all of us, block by block, we are building up a house. Your life is a house, and every moment, every decision you make, every time you wake up, you're taking another block and you're setting it there and you're building a foundation and you're building a house for your life. Some of your decisions are good, and so your blocks are strong because you've believed Jesus and you said, trust you, I'll obey you, even when it's scary. But sometimes we take some and we're like, no, this one's just me and it's my flesh and it's what I want to do. And God, you stay out of it. And we take this cracked block, it's all broken, and we set it in our foundation and create this weak spot in our life. But the choice ultimately is yours, which you'll pick up. Will I believe his word? Will I do what he said? Or am I just going to seek my flesh? But we're all building this house, this life. Every decision you make adds into those blocks. What's your house going to look like? What's your life going to end up being like? I'm so young right now, Rob, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Like, time goes like this. You're going to look up and be like, why didn't I make better decisions when it mattered? When I was in middle school and high school, when it was going to affect the rest of my life. Your decisions right now are far more important than you can ever imagine for the rest of your life. The things you choose right now, what you do in high school, in those classes or outside or after school, when you go home, those decisions will massively change the course of your life. You're building that life right now. You're building that foundation. What will it look like? Are you trusting God to do it? We're constantly investing in it, and we don't have a choice. Like, everything you do is going to put a block there. Your choice is this. Is it going to be good or bad? Because you will add blocks just by living and breathing and moving and making decisions. What are your blocks going to look like? Where's your foundation going to be built? Then it says this. It says, and the rain fell. So here's the test, right? We're building this house, but we don't know. Like, I'm just making decisions, and you might be there tonight. Like, I mean, like, it seems cool. My life seems fine. I've made some decisions. Some are good or bad, but like, it's not that big a deal. And then the rain falls. And it's when that rain falls that the test starts to happen. Some of you guys might not have experienced the test yet. The rain hasn't fallen yet in your life in a way that's tested your foundation. And some of you guys, man, it was years ago that you are already testing. You're like, Rob, I can attest to that tonight. I know exactly what that feels like when that thing happens that shakes the very root of my life. When that person I love so much passed away, it rocked the foundation of my life. It made me ask questions like, what's the point of all this? What happens after this? Why would God allow this to happen? These big life-shaking questions all of a sudden begin to like rise up in our minds because the rain starts to fall. That moment that takes your foundation and just shakes it around. The things that you care most about, you lose. And all of a sudden, you're like, I don't even know what to do now. I don't know where to go or who to trust because my life is getting shaken right now. That's the rain. And it will test you. And it'll show you what kind of blocks you've been putting up in your life, because it's in those moments that you will either shatter or you'll go, I'm not living for this world. I have a home in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I can't wait for eternity. And this world stinks and it's going to be that way because it's broken, but I'm not going to lose hope here because I'm living for there. You find that out real quick when that rain falls. When those tests come and the hard moments hit your life and just rock you to the core, and you're like, it's either Jesus or nothing. And that's what the rain will show you. It says, and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. Like these tests will keep happening. It's not just one time. It's going to happen over and over. Like the waves are coming. The storms are coming. And your life is going to keep getting battered because we live in a broken universe. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Things just aren't perfect here. And as those winds come, you're going to keep getting tested. It's not like you just arrive and you have this beautiful life and this beautiful house, and then you can just like sit back and you're done. It's about waking up each day and saying, Jesus, I need you more today than I did yesterday. Jesus, I got to trust you with every one of these decisions today and these blocks that I put in my life. And every morning when I wake up, Jesus, I have to come back to your feet because I need you to be the foundation of my life. Things are about to just get blown up. The rain's coming. The storms are coming. Winds are beating on the side of my house. Jesus, I need you. Might not seem like that for you tonight, but they're coming. They come for all of us. Will your house stand? Will your heart trust more in God in those moments, or will you just abandon it all? Your relationships will crumble and fall if they're not founded in the truth of God's word and you're obeying it. And you're saying, Jesus, this is hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I trust you. And it says, this house, it didn't fall. It didn't fall because it was based on a foundation of rock, on Jesus Christ himself, on the truth of God's word. It didn't fall. Man, that's my prayer for you. That you would trust God so much in his words that when those hard times in life inevitably come, they will come, that you're able to look up and say, you know what? I have trusted in Jesus. And this is hard. This moment stinks. But he is still the greatest treasure in my life. And your house doesn't fall. Your life doesn't shatter. Your relationships don't crumble. Because Jesus is the center of it. And he's the most valuable thing and person in your life. It says why. It says because it had been founded on the rock. That's why this house didn't fall. That foundation was so strong because it was empowered by God himself. He's holding your life together, even in those horrible moments, even in the storms and the trials and everything that come to test you. God's there saying, I got you. I'm fighting for you and I love you. Those relationships right now that seem hopeless, like how will this ever get fixed? I've lost these people that I love so much. Maybe your relationship in your house is so strained right now. And you're like, how's this ever going to work out? Build your house on the rock. Trust God when he talks about it, when he says it. Trust God when he tells you how much he loves you and values you. Trust God when he says that he is the redeemer of even relationships. So when you're looking at that strained relationship in your home, you could say, God can even redeem this. I'm not losing hope. He's big enough and strong enough, and he promises he will. That's the moment where you can stand on the rock. We need wisdom in our relationships, or they will crumble. It says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. He's switching topics right now. He's switching to this other person who's hearing and reading God's word. Maybe comes to Firehouse every Wednesday, sits in church services all the time, maybe even goes to Bible class. And they're just throwing out all the truth that they're hearing. They're not obeying God's word. They're not listening. They're not living in those truths. They're just letting it go in one ear and right out the other. That's the alternative. That's what you can do. You have that choice. It is your freedom tonight to hear God's truth and go, I don't care. That's your freedom. That's your free will to do that. But is that really what you want to do? This gift, this blessing that God is handing you to have healthy, awesome relationships, but instead you choose carnality and flesh and just pleasure and all of these other things that you know don't honor God, you know are going to destroy your relationships. And like, I choose that instead. That's these people. God's like, I could show you how to have the most unbelievable relationships if you trust me. But so many of us will hear that and say, God, just leave me alone. I choose the sand and build my house on that. He says that that person will be like a foolish man. You're born foolish. Did you know that? We're all born that way. And there's no way out of foolishness other than knowing God's truth. And so really, you don't become foolish in that moment. You are already foolish. You just remain that way. God's offering you a way out. He's offering you a rescue plan out of that sand and out of that foolishness into wisdom to rebuild your life in a whole new, beautiful way that looks like his will for you. But you have to accept it. It says, be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's like, have you ever played Jenga? Like, I am terrible at Jenga. This is the little blocks, you know, you put together and you like pull them out. And like the first one always makes the stinking tower fall every single time on me. But some people are so good at it. And I feel like a lot of us are playing Jenga with our lives. A lot of us are just kind of one block at a time. Slip that one out. And we try to see how many we can pull out, right? How many poor decisions we can make, how many fleshly desires we can fulfill, how many things that we can do that are not based in wisdom or God's word. But man, it makes me happy for right now. Man, it feels good for right now. And really, every single one brings us closer and closer to destruction when that tower finally falls and your life finally crumbles. And you look around at your relationships and they're shattered because you haven't been building it on a rock. You've been building it on sand. It says, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. Notice that like the people who built their house on the rock had these trials come, right? The rain came. And the people who built their house in the sand still had trials come and rain and storms come. Like it didn't matter whether the person built it on wisdom or on flesh. On the rock or the sand. Everybody had the same trials. Everybody had the same rain and storm and wind come in their life. It wasn't like, oh, this person's God's favorite. Nothing ever happens to them. Their life is just great. No, they go through trials. If you're here tonight, you're like, man, I keep following Jesus and I want to do the things Jesus says. But there's things happening in my life. Why would they ever happen? I'm trying to do the right thing. God never promises that the winds won't come. He promises they will, even if you're living for him, because they're tests in our lives to reveal something, to show you that you really are built on rock and not just faking it. Because when those winds come and that rain comes, you're going to stand. And that's proof. It's evidence that you really are following Jesus. But when you're over here on the sand, that same wind and those same storms are going to come, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to crash. Your life will crumble. Some of us need to wake up tonight. Some of us are too busy chasing all these things in life that you think are going to make you happy. And you're building your life on sand. When that rain comes, you're going to fall. God's offering you the solution. He's offering you something so much better. See, the difference between the rock and the sand is not, that's not the problem, right? It's not in the problem. It's in the solution. That's where the difference is found, right? The solution is that these people follow Jesus. The solution isn't, they both get the storm. They both get the rain. Right? There's no difference there. The difference is only in this. I'm following Jesus. We're in the same rainstorm right now. We get the same wind hitting our house. The same attacks from Satan. The same flesh trying to grab our attention. All of it's the same. The only difference is this. Jesus in my life or not. And truly saying, Jesus, I will not just hear your words. I'm going to obey them. It says, this house fell and great was the fall of it. I mean, this thing crashed down. It's funny because sometimes when we build our own lives, we get this tower that's pretty high. We do some cool things. We get pretty impressed with ourselves and we look at this life and these relationships we built and everything seems so perfect. It's like our own little kingdom and we're like, this is amazing. And the more amazing it feels when that collapses, the greater the fall, the bigger the heartache, the more you'll feel like your life is crushed because you're falling from an even higher height and this tower you've built for yourself. That's what he's talking about here. And it will crush unless you've built your life on Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, my house is already falling, Rob. I'm sitting here tonight and everything you're saying is exactly my life. Everything seems broken. I've already made all the wrong choices. The storms have already come. And I'm sitting here tonight and I feel pretty hopeless. My heart is broken. Listen, there's still hope for you. Even if your house crumbled and crashed on that sand, God's still saying, I can pick you back up. There's still hope. You just got to reach the hand up and say, God, pull me out of this. I trust you. I'm going to follow you and let him rebuild that life in a way that won't crash next time the storms come. Next time that rain beats against your house, because now it'll be built on the truth of Jesus. The only one who can truly save. There's this guy, an old preacher named C.H. Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers to read from a long time ago. And he says this, I want to read it to you. He says, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. He says, there's lots of people, especially today, who think they know so much. People who even think like, man, we don't need the Bible anymore. That's so old. This is thousands of years later. We've gained so much knowledge about the world and the universe and life that the Bible's archaic and out of date and pointless. And they try to tell you that it's dumb to even read it because it's so old and just we know so much more. And C.H. Spurgeon points out so clearly that those people, they can say that all they want. And then you look at their life and watch it when the rain comes and all that knowledge that they have and that they're depending on, their PhDs and their education and all this experience, and their life still crashes down. because it's not just about gaining knowledge or being smart or even knowing the Bible. It's about obeying it. It's about hearing God's word and saying yes. You have a choice to make tonight. Nobody else can make it for you. You can't hope that eventually your parents will step in and just make things right in your life. That really good friend that always knows the right thing to do. This is up to you. This is your choice tonight to say, God, I will either base my life on truth and the relationships in my life on your truth, or I'll choose the sand. And listen, I pray tonight that you choose the rock. Don't just hear God's word. Obey it. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? As you sit there, we're about to sing another song of worship, but just in the quiet of your heart with your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you just ask yourself that question from earlier? What are you basing your life on? What are you trusting as your foundation tonight? How are you navigating your relationships? Are you just trying to make it blindly through on your own? And I'd ask you, as you answer those questions, be honest with yourself. It's just you talking to yourself. But if you're wrong, will you be willing to admit it to yourself tonight and say, look, I have no idea. I've been doing this on my own. Just take a minute to honestly talk to yourself.